Kathy Fredericks Johnson, and my Indian name is Eagle Plume, and my tribal affiliation is the three affiliated, Mandan, Arikara, and Hidatsa. I am Mandan and Arikara. My current place of residency is Bismarck, North Dakota, and I have been here off and on my entire life, but I moved back here about 16 years ago from the reservation, from Fort Berthold. I have two children, and I am married to my husband, Rick. I've been married to him for, 26 years. I have my MBA from University of Mary, and I am the current vice president of student services at United Tribes Technical College, and I've been here at United Tribes for the past 11 and a half years. And prior to that, I was with the North Dakota State Infant Toddler Enrichment Program for 10 years, which was a program with the state of North Dakota. And I did that with my back at home on the reservation for 5 years. Then I came to Bismarck. They recruited me to come into the statewide program. And I was raised by my mother and my father. I grew up and I split my time between the reservation and Bismarck. I would spend my summers back home, what I consider back home, on the reservation where my father had a ranching operation. So I was part of the crew that helped with the ranching. I grew up with a his, hers, and theirs family. My dad had brought some children to the family unit, and my mother did, and then together they had three. Growing up in that situation, back in those days, I have a lot of fond memories of those times, of our mixed family and our summers and between ranching and just all that entails. It's like nothing that we have today, I guess. It's good memories. But I was raised by my mom and my dad, and I had a lot of family around all the time.
Can you share with me what was it like growing up? If you can go into further detail, what was it like growing up? I think you said, is it Twin Buttes?
In Twin Buttes, yeah. Twin Buttes. What was it like? Well, we didn't live right in the community. We lived about, 3 miles out of the community, and our life was surrounded by work. We worked from sunup to sundown, whether you were cooking, cleaning, riding, we had a lot of work to be done. So we all were expected to carry our load, and we did without hesitation, and it was just expected, and you didn't think anything of it. You worked.
So strong work ethic is a value that was definitely taught to you.
Yes.
What were some of the other values that are very fond to you that was taught by your parents?
I would say being good to people, being honest, mm-hmm. Being truthful, mm-hmm. being good to family, always recognizing your family, mm-hmm. acknowledging them. That was always very important. Mm-hmm. Back then, actually, something that comes to mind is that my dad used to always want to do, and this was with my grandma. He used to always go visit my grandma, who lived down the road, but he used to always tell us to slow down. He saw us as we got older, we would want to come in and just briefly visit. Mm-hmm. And then we'd say, okay, we got to go. Mm-hmm. And he would say, no, you come in and you slow down, sit down, mm-hmm. Let's visit, mm-hmm. talk to me about it, let's have some coffee, mm-hmm. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, whatever he'd say, just come sit down, let's eat or whatever. Mm-hmm. We always had to eat our suppers together. Mm-hmm. And that carried through to my family, my two children, my husband, my kids grew up that way. We always had supper, and that's something that they today are so thankful for, because they said a lot of families mm-hmm. that they knew, their friends, they didn't do that, I guess. But mm-hmm. anyway, we did that. So
mm-hmm. like some of those values are being lost, I think, mm-hmm. that we grew up with. What about spirituality, being Native American? Kind of share about that a little bit.
Well, I should have mentioned spirituality, because that was a very important part mm-hmm. of our growing up as well. We went to church every Sunday. We celebrated all the holidays, and we said prayers every single day with our meals. Mm-hmm. We said prayers at night. It was a very big part. As far as the Native American part of it and the spirituality, for me personally, I can't say that that's true for my older siblings, but for me and maybe my younger brother, probably just, we're kind of like the tail end, I guess you want to say. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get a whole lot of Native American spirituality. I didn't know a lot about my own culture. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I'd have to ask my mom why that would be, but I went to most of my education off the reservation.
So was that, well, I guess, what grades did you get your education in Bismarck?
I came to Bismarck. I started out here in, it was probably like first or second grade. Okay. And I went my first year I went to the Catholic school system. Mm. And when I went there, that's when I first learned I was an Indian. Mm. From the Catholic school kids and the teachers.
So what grade were you then?
That had to have been first grade.
First grade, okay.
First or second grade.
Okay.
And I was mistreated there both by the kids and by the teachers. Mm-hmm. And so the next year, my parents took me back out to Twin Buttes. And then there, I'd become the white girl. Mm. So,
Because
I'd been gone and I went to the big town and now I was a white girl. So I only spent another year out there, 1 or 2 years, and then I came back to Bismarck and I went into the public school system instead of the Catholic school system.
So you must have been about fourth grade, mm-hmm, by this time?
Yep.
Okay.
And went to the public school system. And it was a little better there because you had, you know, I think there was another Native student in my class, and we had some Vietnamese, you know, so it was a little, mm-hmm, little bit of mixture there. Mm-hmm. I do remember my fourth grade teacher. I can remember I was we were going out for recess or for down for lunch, and we were going down the stairs, and I for some reason I looked back, and the teacher was digging in my desk, mm-hmm, and I didn't know why, and I knew that she had a problem with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
uh-huh.
I just have those memories.
Right.
Of that particular lady.
A violation of your, mm-hmm, property. That,
yeah,
kind of.
And there were more things that I, mm-hmm, I think I probably repressed some of that stuff. But
right.
Anyways, so I got through that, and then I ended up going back to the Catholic school, to Cathedral, and I took a couple of my friends with me, and...
Can I ask what grade were you
in? I would have went to 7th and 8th grade.
Okay.
At Cathedral, and then I went on to high school at St. Mary's, and I graduated there.
Okay. So you, okay, so 7th to 8th grade, you went to the Cathedral, which is Catholic,
yeah,
school. And 9th grade to 12th,
I went to St. Mary's, and then I graduated from there, graduated high school.
So do you want to share what your experience was like?
I would say that I spent a lot of my time, I was accepted in the popular group, what's considered the popular group. So I had friends, but I never had boyfriends. I was never asked to dances, you know, that kind of thing. And I think it had to do with the fact that I was, and maybe it's just me thinking that, mm-hmm, but I just never had any of that when I went to school there.
Well, Kathy, I'm looking at you right now, and you're very beautiful, and I know that you were beautiful back then. That just doesn't go away. So, you know, I'm just thinking that it could have been that you were Native American.
It's I feel that it was. Even back then, I felt that it was, because mm-hmm, I didn't come from, you know, we had a house in Bismarck, and we had where my dad ranched out in Twin Buttes, mm-hmm, and my house in Bismarck was pretty much just a house, you know, with your beds, and it was very basic in there. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't come from, and, you know, a lot of my friends had big fancy homes, and they had cars, mm-hmm, and they had access to money, and, mm-hmm, you know, their lives were very different than from what I was used to. So I was, mm-hmm, always adapting. I mean, I just adapted to my surroundings, and, mm-hmm, so that I could hang in there. And I always had to work, you know, because we didn't have a lot of money back then. So mm-hmm. I always had a job, but mm-hmm. so did my rich friends. So did my friends with money, okay. You know, they all had to work too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that, but, mm-hmm.
So did you have a vehicle?
I did not. Okay. I did not have a vehicle. I often reflect back on how on God's green earth did I get to work every single day without a vehicle. Mm-hmm. I must have had to beg and beg and beg. And I think I did have some really good friends, some good people that took me to work. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I worked at McDonald's on the end of Maine when everybody would be out on the Friday nights driving up and down. All my friends would drive through and buy a cheeseburger and say hi. Mm-hmm. There I was at work. You know, I worked there. And then I worked at the Osco Drug and at the mall. And then I worked at was it Sergio's when it first opened up on Expressway? Mm-hmm. I was the first batch of waitresses there, and they all thought I was Hispanic.
Oh, really?
With a Hispanic dress on, but so I got good tips. But so yeah, I always worked.
So you feel you were treated differently because you didn't have the car, you didn't have the house,
you didn't have the money.
The money. You look different.
And because, you know, a lot of times with sports and athletics, it was like that back in my day too, back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, if I'd have excelled in anything, it didn't matter, because a lot of what happened is it's the parents. The parents get in there and they buy it through money, or they, you know how these athletics things, yes. how these athletic things go. Mm-hmm. So, not to add to that, I spent my summers and all my weekends when I was younger, before I could work. That was kind of the thing. When I got my job, then I didn't have to, I'd work on the weekends and I didn't have to go out to the ranch on the weekends with my parents.
Okay.
But prior to when I was old enough to work, I had spent every weekend and every summer out on the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that took me out of a lot of social environments too.
Okay.
You know, so I wasn't a part of that social network that you get in the weekends, slumber parties, this kind of thing. My dad was very strict also.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never allowed to go sleep at people's homes or go to their cabins. You know, that was I didn't get to go to camps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just didn't feel the need to send me off to any of those places. So I didn't do any of that.
Did you feel angry towards him? Did you go?
I didn't think anything of it, because mm-hmm. I loved going out to Twin Buttes. I loved what mm-hmm. I did out there. And I mm-hmm. always thought to myself, back then you wrote letters. I've got mm-hmm. letters from my friends that used to write me little cute letters. And I guess I used to respond and send them little letters back. But
mm-hmm.
they'd say, "Dear Kathy, you know, where are you? And when are you coming back?" and stuff like that. But but I loved it out there. I can remember many times riding and thinking, they have no idea where I go. It's beautiful out here. I love that life. I did. And I mean, I can't say that I never felt resentful,
right.
because I'm sure there were times when,
mm-hmm.
you know, like if I wanted to play basketball, the basketball practice would start before school started.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad would say, "You're going to go back when school starts, because we've mm-hmm. got work, we've got stuff to do out here."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would get let into the basketball program, and then you'd have to do tryouts and all this kind of thing. Well, they'd already been working out for 2 weeks or whatever, and
mm-hmm.
they'd try to make me run extra and do all this kind of stuff to me, you know. But I was never a cheerleader or anything like that. You know, I never took part in any of that kind of stuff.
Did you have a desire to, and just didn't feel you were good enough to do it, or what was the reason?
I don't think I had real good self-esteem. I couldn't mm-hmm. imagine myself in front of all those people jumping around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just kind of, it wasn't for me.
And were there other Native Americans attending in your class and in your school?
There, not very many. No, I would say like one here and there, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
But I could say the one. There was, yeah, your husband. Yeah, I went to, in high school, I went to high school with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in high school, and there was another gal in high school, a Patnoid, that went.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be his? Well, anyways, yeah, there was another gal that went to school there. But so all along, there was just a real trickling of them. I remember one when I was at the public school. he was there and he was just so shy and so nobody would talk, you know, he was really, he wasn't able to step out and, you know, I don't know where I found, I mean, I think that's what separated me a little bit from, from say, for example, him. And I always wondered where he was.
Yeah.
I know his name and everything. And I always wondered whatever happened to him, but, cause you could tell he was gonna be a nice looking man, you know, but he was just so painfully shy and, and he really just struggled. And so he ended up leaving. He was only there for like a year. Maybe 2 years, and then he left, and never heard from him again. And
did he just kind of roam the hallways by himself and lunch by himself?
He was very much a loner.
That always just that pains me to. I had a brother that went through that as well. So let's see here. So you shared your high school experience. What other things can you remember that were painful?
Oh, well, my most painful things really stem back to Cathedral when I was a very young girl when I went to the Catholic school the first time. So I would have been like first and second grade. when I first realized I was an Indian, you know. I can remember my best friend, who was my best friend from that time on until recently, we used to walk to school together, and we would make the turn. I need some water. We would make the turn to go towards our school, and we'd have to separate, and I'd have to walk on one side of the sidewalk, and she'd walk on the other. So it didn't look like we walked together. We were friends.
Oh, gosh.
But we spent every day after school together until her parents picked her up. So yeah, that was... That was, and I did it, whatever. You know, I never thought, whatever.
Like, and then, you said, you adapt.
Yeah. So, I can't believe I'm getting like a cough. I'm sorry. But, and then I would have to be on the meal program, the lunch program. And I'm going to start having a cough attack, Lorraine. Okay, so what I was saying is that back then I had to walk, we walked on separate sides, and I, you know, that's when I really started to realize that, was I different? I didn't feel different, you know, just because we got to that area, but I had to adapt. I had to adapt, and because of that, at the time, I know that now, but I didn't realize that I was being learned, I was being taught really valuable lessons that were going to carry me through today. When those things were happening to me, how I dealt with them then, and how I continued to deal with all of those kinds of things throughout my life, have carried me to this point. Those are all a part of the recipe, I believe.
Okay.
Because I didn't get mad, and I didn't, you know, this kind of stuff. I just took it, you know. And I'd get to school, and then I had to be on the meal program, the reduced lunches, you know. So you'd get a little card, and you'd have to go in line and get it stamped, this kind of thing. And all my friends, they brought cold lunches, and they'd always have these nice little boxes and or what have you, and what, and I, you know. And I can remember, and they would go outside, and they would sit along the wall, and then they'd be out there eating their lunches, and I'd get done with my lunch, and I'd come out, and I can specifically remember two girls not wanting me to even look at them. Don't even look at us when you walk by.
Oh my goodness.
So I didn't, you know.
Did you cry? Did you go, do you remember?
Nope. I don't remember crying. Maybe I did, but I don't remember crying. But what I do remember is then friending what you would call the geeks, or the ones that weren't as socially popular at that time. And I became a part of that friend group. So I was a part of my best friend, who was a part of this group, after school, then we'd walk and we'd separate, and then I'd become friends with this other group at school, during the school day. And these friendships have carried lifelong, too. I'm still very close to these gals.
And those are the geek
ones. You would consider, you know, not as socially whatever, you know,
right.
They do in those ages. But but they're lifelong friends as well. But but the irony of this is that somehow, some way, and I don't know how it happened, but these girls, then I left, you know, I wasn't treated well, So then I left, went back to the reservation, went to school there for another year, came back, went to the private school. So several years had passed, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. and then I came back to this school in the 7th and 8th grade.
Okay.
And when I came back...
Now this is Cathedral.
Yep, Cathedral. When I came back to that year, and that was my best friend that convinced me to come back to Cathedral.
Mm,
she okay. wanted me there now.
The one that...
Separated me when we were younger. Yeah.
When you got to the school, yep. separated away from
She
you.
Wanted okay. me there with her because we'd stayed friends all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had brought myself and a couple of other guys that are my good friends, that are still my friends today,
mm-hmm.
Over with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went, I'll never forget it, that they came running out, these same girls that sat along this wall, some of them,
mm-hmm.
and hugged me and were just so happy to see me.
Oh, really?
And I never questioned it.
Yeah.
I was in. Yeah. And that was it.
Really?
I laid on that lawn and hugging, those girls were all hugging me, and that was it. I was in.
Wow.
Whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these girls that sat here and, mm-hmm. and treated me that way, I even have another friend that had brought, this really impacted me, and I never forgot it, so I'm going to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was around Easter time, and they used to have those little Easter gums, little mm-hmm. Easter egg gums.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out on the playground, and you were supposed to bring enough for everybody if you were going to have candy mm-hmm. to share. You had to bring enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this particular little gal didn't want to give me one. So,
but gave everybody else.
But I gave everybody else mm-hmm. one. And I think that was the moment when my then best friend
mm-hmm.
said that's enough, because she knew that I didn't get a piece. Everybody else did but her.
Mm-hmm.
So she bit hers in half and she gave me half of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forgot that, because that was a big deal.
Right.
That was a big deal that she had publicly
yes.
said, I'm done doing that to Kathy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So that so those are some of the things that mm-hmm. happened to me, and they must have impacted me, because I remember them vividly.
Right.
You know, so then
that's the power of
yeah,
love.
Yeah. And then so that's kind of the school piece of it, and
then you move on to a different part of your life.
Yeah. Then I go through high school and I graduate, and you know, without too much incident. I, you know, and I always had to just listen to people make racist comments, and a lot of that happened in high school. They'd,
mm-hmm.
they'd say real
in
derogative.
Front of you?
Yeah, in front of me. And the
was
only
it
thing,
to offend you as well? Or
I don't think they cared.
They didn't.
It didn't matter if they offended
matter.
Me or not. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I regret, my regret there is that I wasn't strong enough to stand up and say stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't take that and educate people, or take that opportunity to educate people, or
mm-hmm.
or to let them know that, yeah, it did offend me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I just zipped my lips, and, you know, so then I go on and become, I go to school and I become a professional, and,
mm-hmm.
And so I've been the token Indian at the Capitol for meetings, you know, because they would use us for, they would use the tribes for their mm-hmm. for grant, for count, and you know,
oh,
just
sure.
that kind of thing. I've been a part of all that, and
mm.
and but there have been times when I've stood up and said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be a token Indian,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I mean, I have physically done that at meetings.
Explain what token Indian is, because the non-Native community probably doesn't know what that means.
Well, the example that I'll use is with myself is that. There was a grant, mm-hmm. and in that grant, there was a requirement. I mean, they had probably used Native numbers, you
mm-hmm.
know, so they could say, well, X amount of number of Natives from North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the grant, the people that were in charge of that grant
mm-hmm.
from out of state came in, and they got all the state folks, which meant the tribes should have been there too, but
right.
they weren't. But they had me there
mm-hmm.
Because they'd kind of gotten to know me. Through another venue, another way, but
mm-hmm.
they had me at that meeting, and the grant folks stood up and they said, call us when you have everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
And what they meant is they didn't, you know, they had a token there,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have the voice there.
Mm-hmm.
Because an Indian is not an Indian is not an Indian. I could speak on behalf of myself.
Right.
And maybe my community, things mm-hmm. that are familiar to me that I know mm-hmm. about.
Right.
But I can't speak about Fort Yates,
Fort
Belcourt,
Five
or
tribes.
Even the larger part of Fort Berthold.
Right.
Quite possibly, because we're a large reservation, we're spread out.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean about a token Indian. They mm-hmm. felt like if they had one at the table, they had an Indian at the
it was
table,
covered.
We're good.
Right.
But the they needed to understand that that's not how it is.
Right.
That we have all different kind of communities, just like they do.
Yeah.
Just like Dickinson might be different from Bismarck, or
yep.
Bismarck is very different from Richardson. I don't know.
Their townships.
We're all different. Mm-hmm. And so are the reservations, and so are our communities.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of became important to me then, after I realized kind of how I was young, really young.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize kind of the dynamics and how things worked, and I started to become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to advocate, and I was able to you know, speak up and say, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm speaking for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not speaking for all Native people, because I don't have that right. I can't. Because
right.
I don't know
right.
what's all going on, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that I helped just in this little particular circle,
mm-hmm.
I helped them understand. I later became the state director of that program here in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, I understood all of the misunderstandings of all of the people from, say, Fargo or Minot or mm-hmm. some of the bigger cities. So I supervised. I was now in charge of those programs
mm-hmm.
from the white community, from off-reservation, and all the reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... So I think I spent a lot of my time doing my grant objectives
mm-hmm.
and a lot of my time bringing community together
mm-hmm.
because that became really a part of my passion. So mm-hmm. what we did is we hosted a lot of our meetings on all the reservations.
Okay.
So a lot of these folks, I wanted them to visit. They had to drive there. They had to experience the drive, meet the people of the community, and get comfortable.
Right.
To try to wipe away anything that they might feel or think or stereotypes or whatever. And I enjoyed that part of my life. I really did. Those were some really good days. And
you saw the value of,
I did.
Of that learning, that cultural learning.
Absolutely.
Between the two.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, it was early childhood. So we would, you know, we had one of our best centers was right on Fort Berthold.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to showcase our Fort Berthold and showcase our, you know, our elders that were in the child care setting, and just a whole different flavor from
mm-hmm.
rigid book, textbook, you know, this kind of thing. It was a whole bringing them together, you know, textbook with kind of how we do things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
a life experience.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good.
That's great.
And so then after that, then I came here to United Tribes, and I've been here ever since mm-hmm. in enrollment services and then in the, you know, in different capacities out here. So.
And what is it like for people out there who don't know United Tribes? What's the culture like? How is it different? Because you have that perspective, because you went to these public school, or the public, the private, the tribal. You've been to all three.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've had that experience working as a state employee where there's a lack of Native Americans working. Mm-hmm. And so now you work at United Tribes over 11 years. And... what's it like?
I guess I continue to be amazed and baffled at how so many of our neighbors here, just right outside the gates of United Tribes, don't know what we do in here.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do in here is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we, you know, we have seen up to 70 different tribes come here for schooling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, our numbers are not that high now, but at one time they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're, you know, this is such a rich community in so many ways. I mean, we're transforming lives
mm-hmm.
all the time. There's such good work here, such passion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, we the longevity that we have with our employees, I mean, people come here and they stay because of the community, both Native and non-Native.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got the mix out here or whatever, but that's the biggest thing to me is I just cannot believe how many people don't get it. But I'm going to use the example of Aetna.
Okay.
I've been working with them on a volunteer basis for, I want to say, this is probably the fourth or fifth year they'll be out here this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was through a program where we were trying to educate the community. So somebody, there was a couple of people here on campus that would connect with someone off campus, a group, an organization or whatever, and they'd bring them on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought like a busload.
Okay.
Aetna did. They brought a significant amount of group of people out here.
Okay.
And they did a tour, and they had lunch with us, and they got to ask questions. And then we asked them if they wanted to do it. They're real big on volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to volunteer out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got hooked up with me because I oversaw the cafeteria at the time.
Okay.
And so a group of them come out, and they help with our buffalo feed. We feed right around 3,000 people on the last Sunday of the powwow every year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they wanted to help with that. And it has been just the most wonderful, fantastic relationship, and mm-hmm. it's grown. They every year they want to bring more and more people out because
it still
they
love continues the, today.
Yeah, yeah, wow. yeah. Okay. So they come out and they bring their families or whatever, and in return they get a pass, a powwow pass. Mm-hmm. So then when they're all done serving and we clean up, it just makes the work light, you know, mm-hmm. and it makes it very organized and very, we need the help. We need volunteers out here during the powwow. But anyway, so that's just been a huge success. Mm-hmm. And then when they're done, they come over and they watch, you know, the grand entry or, mm-hmm. you know, partake in the rest of the festivities and go shopping and...
Wow, yeah. That's great.
It's awesome.
So how many come out? How many employees?
Geez, I think last year they had, I want to say 26.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And this has been going on for how many years?
I think this is maybe their fourth or fifth year. They've been coming. I mean, it just goes, it's been going on for a while. And
okay.
And another example I'll give is Starbucks. Starbucks, they didn't come out this last year, but we had reached out to them to come out to the powwow to put up a stand, to have a coffee stand. Mm-hmm. And the first year, corporate is the one that had the interest in it. Mm-hmm. And corporate, you know, corporate's a much different world than our local business.
Yes.
They're a little bit, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Corporate was, yes, they were into it. And so mm-hmm. they had called the Starbucks here in town, and Starbucks was a little leery because they didn't know about United Tribes. What is that out there? You know, they just weren't. So to ease their pain or ease their fears or ease their curiosity, we invited them out prior. Uh-huh. And so they came out and we did a tour and just sort of said, here's what happens. Mm-hmm. And so they felt better about it and they still didn't understand what happened or what goes on that weekend.
Yeah.
So when they came, they set up their stand. It was a little stand. And I can remember the first morning opened, I thought, I'm going over. I'm not going to go to Starbucks in town. I'm going to go to ours on campus.
Yeah.
And I went there and really because they didn't understand how many people come through our gates that weekend,
uh-huh.
they had just brought coffee, just a small coffee and some coffee cups.
Oh, you're kidding.
So they didn't, you know, they just didn't get it. So boy, mm-hmm. they were scrambling to get more and more stuff. And they said, and by the time the weekend was over, those folks that were not sure where they were coming mm-hmm. couldn't wait to come back next year.
Really?
They were... We're gonna bring everything. We're gonna set everything up. We're gonna, you know. So it was exciting to them. And mm-hmm. actually, what they did is they turned around and they gave all their profits back in the form of scholarships.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
They came out and then they came out and did some barista testing with us. Some, you know, they did. They had a few events out here. Then after that, so those are the kinds of things that mm-hmm. I would love to see cultivated. Is the relationship between United Tribes and the understanding of what we do out here mm-hmm. and the impact that we make. Mm-hmm. And just who we are
mm-hmm.
with the Bismarck, Mandan, Lincoln community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
bridging those relationships mm-hmm. and learning about one another.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. So that's in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we graduate students out of here. Mm-hmm. We bring in, we actually transplant people here. Mm-hmm. They become lifelong people in their community because mm-hmm. they work here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they work here or they graduated from here or they mm-hmm. become, you know. All kinds of, they bring their families, mm-hmm. maybe their extended families come. I mean, right. you know, so.
They advocate for United Tribes, and so family members come. Children yeah. come when they become of age. And
they come, you know, they come with all kinds of situations,
mm-hmm.
you know, they do, but.
And earlier, you and I were talking privately, and you mentioned how you watch some come in a humble way, very, you know, they're coming off the reservation and sometimes they don't have that self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen them transform
yeah.
over the years.
Yeah.
Can you want to share about that a little bit?
I could talk all day long and give scenarios about how, okay. and that's what makes me so passionate about this place and many of us that are out here
mm-hmm.
is when students come in and they're, you know, some of them, this might be their last stand. This might be their last straw. They come to United Tribes. They've gotten off the reservation. They've left home. They've left their families. They've, you know, sometimes we've even got situations where it's married couples, but they can't bring their families because they can't afford it because of housing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they're leaving a lot. They're leaving jobs. Maybe they're leaving homes.
Right.
They're just taking a huge risk and they're coming here. Hoping for the next thing, hoping for the next best thing. And
mm-hmm.
and so I've seen so many, I've watched so many students and families come here on their last leg and just become transformed. you know, and become these strong individuals, and they leave and they go out to the workforce, they go on to other institutions, higher learning, you know, and there's just so many good stories. I don't know.
That's kind of what we need to do, is round up those stories, because I think the community doesn't realize how much professional development comes out of here. Mm-hmm. And how much of that talent is really within our own community, mm-hmm. That they could be seeking out.
You know, a lot of times when I'm uptown, if I'm at a business, there's a lot of misunderstanding yet uptown. Mm-hmm. I'll just put it that way. Mm-hmm. I watch it all the time. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. it happens to me. Yeah. It happens to all of us, yeah. probably. Yeah. So, but now that I'm older and I understand, I'll use an example. I was in the Herberger's one day, this was a couple years ago. One of our employees out here, he works in my, I was a supervisor. Mm-hmm. And he and his family, and he's dark, you know, he's a native. Mm-hmm. And his wife and his little kids, and they were walking in Herberger's, and I just happened to be making a quick trip in and a quick trip out, and I physically watched a lady, a worker, mm-hmm. hide behind one of the, you know, the clothes stands, and she was peeking at them and just watching them, and going on here, you know, and I come up behind her, so I stood right behind her while she was peeking around, and they were minding their own business. They had no idea they were being watched, you know, mm-hmm. and out the door they went, whatever, mm-hmm. and she turned around, she saw me, and she was startled, you know. And I said, "What did you see?" And you know, I just couldn't help myself, because I could not believe it. And that was pretty much it. That didn't go any further. I just walked out, then followed them out the door.
And it's we can laugh about it right now, but that really gives the idea of
how we're perceived. Just how walking down the street.
Yeah.
Shopping.
Yep.
Doing everyday things just like everybody else.
The need for cultural education, mm-hmm. is critical in our community. And today we see all this diversity. And so the Native American population isn't the only minority anymore. And so I think this is a good time for us to start educating our community, our city, mm-hmm. both cities, Mandan and Bismarck. So I too had an experience at Herberger's. As well, and it was actually about a month ago, treated very badly by a cashier. And I shared it on Facebook because, you know, I have friends who are Native and non-Native both, and I don't believe in racism against the Caucasian, mm-hmm. the non-Native Americans, because I don't like to be racist against. Mm-hmm. So I don't condone that behavior. So, but I shared that, and it was so amazing to watch the Bismarck City Mayor, who is a friend of mine, who mm-hmm. was on my Facebook, mm-hmm. and who stepped up and said he did something about that. That is where we need that support from our leadership, and it's happening. So I'm very enthusiastic about what is coming in our city.
Mm-hmm. Well, so for me and my passion and where I'm at is I'm passionate about the job that I do every day here for the students and on behalf of the students and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the other part of that is I really do have a passion for educating the Bismarck, Mandan, mm-hmm. and Lincoln community about mm-hmm. United Tribes and our students and our staff and what we do out here.
Who we are,
because we are many things, you know. Yes. And we just...
just because we're different doesn't mean we're bad.
No.
And I agree. I think there has to be... There's a sense of feeling shame of being Native American. And that is just wrong in itself. But it there's a precedent there that instilled that within us. Mm-hmm. And so if you go to any other big city, there is all kinds of mm-hmm. minorities. Mm-hmm. And so you don't feel ashamed, mm-hmm.
right,
as we do here. We've been the only minority for so many years, mm-hmm. and I think it's time.
Got a bad rap.
Yeah, I think it's time that, you know, we walk with our heads up, mm-hmm. You know, and start educating.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes...
We don't talk like you. We don't look like you. We don't...
Quite honestly, a lot of times I don't think of my... I mean, I don't... You know, I don't think, oh, well, I'm Indian and you're what... I just don't think that way, you know?
Exactly.
And until it's brought to me, it'll
until you see somebody treating you that way, then it's like, oh, okay.
I mean, I've got my children don't look native. My son and my daughter, and they've experienced racism all through their schooling here in Bismarck, and in one way or another, being called names or having the racist jokes in front of their face, even though they know they're native, and all kinds of things, you know. But it's just so not a lot has changed.
Right, and I think it's important just to kind of leave with a message we have a higher calling in how we respond. We can actually change and reverse that by not getting violent about it, by not, you know, reacting in a way that would contribute to the name savage. And so we have a responsibility of challenging ourselves to develop emotionally and to articulate to them how inappropriate that was. Or
educate.
Just to stop and educate them and say, you know, it, like you did, for example. I mean, it wasn't, you didn't really educate her, but you... there's a standard of no tolerance. In a respectful way. So I think we're ready for that. I think we're empowered. I think United Tribes is going to be a big part of bringing that platform to the city.
I agree. And so...
As we build our Native American population to become cohesive, United Tribes is a big part of that. But to bring it all together so that we have a platform to educate our cities here. So,
yep.
Is there anything else you wanted to add in closing?
No, I just want to thank you for asking me to be a part of this. it's interesting to share when I have to reflect and think about my story from, you know, from many years ago to now. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for sharing with us.
Okay, thanks.